Here we go. This is going to be interesting. It's July 26th. I haven't had a chance to prepare much today, but I was out seeing about my tooth. And the good news is, apparently, there's nothing that we can find wrong with that tooth. It's just, I'm still in pain, though. That's the problem. Good news and bad news. The x-ray and also the hot and cold test and the electrical tests do not indicate a reason to think that there's anything wrong with the root of that tooth. So we don't have any reason. I have a reason to believe that tooth is bad, but it's not very painful or anything. So it's just that there's associated distress and we don't know why. So that was an accident. I said it would be interesting, but I forgot to rewind anyway, so now I know. So we're ready to do the song. It's going to be a great song today, I think. We're also ready to do Carl Jung. What's happened? Oh, they're giving me a timing. They're giving me a timer now. That's not too great, but let's see what we got. We are born at a given moment, Carl Jung said. Okay, Wednesday, July 26, 2023, 18:23 hours, Ward Green with you. I had some interesting things happen today. I don't know what happened. We are born at a given moment, Carl Jung said, but I had a battery issue with my car. I thought it was going to fail on the way home, but I didn't know it was the battery. But it was the battery also, because the alternator wasn't working. So it wasn't charging the battery. Yeah, so when I got home, I checked the alternator connections to the battery instead of measuring the battery itself. The alternator was only producing roughly 12 volts, which it's not enough. It should be 14 volts. Anyway, I was reading the voltage on the alternator all the way, except not... that's true. I think that's true, isn't it? Yeah, it is true, because I read the power port of the car. So the battery, I'm trying to recover it right now. So let's launch into our study. It's going to be interesting. I think Carl Jung said we are born at a given moment in a given place. And also I want to thank the wonderful people at the endodontist group that I visited today. They were so kind as to accept me on very short notice because of my distress that I was having. And even though I'm still having distress, I'm quite relieved to note that my distress is not easily attributable to the need for... There's no need for a root canal, you know, as far as we can tell. Not easily attributable to anything, this distress that I'm experiencing in my tooth area, in the area of my mouth here, and in the area of that tooth 3-6. So Carl Jung said, we are born at a given moment in a given place, and like vintage years of wine... Well, we've already done that one. Gotta go to another. And we've done that one too. And we've done that one. Okay, the greatest tragedy of the family is the unlived lives of the parents. That's a new one. That's a new one. Now we're going to have to see whether YouTube will allow us to get here. It does. Good. So the Chinese philosopher. Okay, no matter how busy you may think you are, Confucius said you must find time for reading or surrender yourself to self-chosen ignorance. Well put. And Mark Twain. Let's see what we can find. We've had that one. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Very good. Mark Twain. Marvelous. And now our song for today, which is 15 number ones on the charts in the year, or years actually, 1978 and 79. Around the world, 15 number one chart positions this song achieved, which is quite remarkable back in that time, that many years ago. Released in November 1978 by the Bee Gees, sung by Barry Gibb and his two brothers, Robin and Maurice, or Morris, however you want to pronounce it, I guess. So that's it. It's called Too Much Heaven.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is the Bee Gees, and it's interesting to note that they started their first band in 1955, and that's when the two fraternal twins, Robin and Morris, were 5 or 6 years old, and so that's pretty young to start a band. But their older brother was, I guess, 8 or 9, something like that, years old, so that was Barry, and he's the one who... after their early hit songs, I think it was whether it was their hit songs or whether it was something else, it was Robin who sang the lead vocals for their early songs. I'm not sure if they were the hit songs or when that was, but Barry took over eventually, and he sang certainly a number of even consecutive hit songs, but. If they're not going to be remembered, I mean, I don't know who will. They're very, very, and that was the unbelievable thing about that is it's a live recording. That looks like they're actually singing it. Everything is, the orchestra's there. Everybody's there playing live, and we're hearing it, the record, I guess, was what we're hearing. We're not hearing the live performance, but it's so close. I think it looks like we are hearing it as a live performance, and they must have done some of their versions, but when they overdubbed, though, they overdubbed many times. There's 27 tracks of vocals, or 27 layers of vocals, I think, each of which have 3 voices. I think that's what it is. They got 27 layers of tracks on the vocals for that song. So they're not obviously playing all of them. They can't sing all those voices at the same time, but they're doing them one layer at a time, and it looks like, in that case, it looks like them performing, but they can't be if that's the actual hit record. It couldn't be possible. So, but it's so well synchronized that that's probably them singing one of the layers, and that's what we see there. It's unbelievably true to life. It's so exquisite. I think they're unforgettable, and it's extremely touching seeing as the two brothers who were the fraternal twins have both passed away at a fairly young age compared to how long people usually live. So we finished chapter 2 of Born and Raised yesterday, little ones, and that was the end of chapter 2, what we read last there. So, chapter 3, Tiberius, Herod, Astronomy, and Testimony, which spells that as an acronym. Psalm 19 and 3, there is no speech and there are no words. No voice on their part is being heard. The baptism of Jesus in 26 CE fits into the date of 30 CE for his resurrection with a ministry of 42 months. In working backwards from 70 CE, we did find a logical basis for a 26 CE baptism, and the book of Luke reads, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was district ruler of Galilee, but Philip his brother was district ruler of the country of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was district ruler of Abilene, in the days of chief priest Annas and of Caiaphas, God's declaration came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The scripture, that's from the New World Translation, 1984. The scripture from Luke chapter 3, 1 and 2 above, is likely one of the strongest reasons why some date the crucifixion to 33 CE instead of 30 CE, based on the year of Tiberius. The 15th year after 14 CE is 28 or 29 CE, and the date of 14 CE corresponds to the death of Caesar Augustus, who also preceded Tiberius as emperor of the Roman Empire. So, the 15th year after 14 CE would be 14 plus 14, roughly, or 28, or perhaps 29 CE. And that was the 15th year when John the son of Zechariah, who was John the Baptist, came preaching. Right? And he was in the wilderness at the time. That's what that scripture is talking about. John the Baptist. So that was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was baptized by John. But the strange thing is, that means Jesus wasn't baptized until sometime after 28 or 29. So they assume the baptism is sometime in perhaps 29, late 29. And then they calculate 3.5 years and get to 33 CE for the crucifixion. That's what that's saying. Okay, now we can maybe go to our... I don't even have it here. I'm very lax today because I was so busy today. Numbers 26. We're not going to be able to read it all. We're already 16 minutes in to the study for today, God willing. We'll get through it. And we'll enjoy it, hopefully. I hope so. But anyway, Numbers 26. And it came about after the scourge that Jehovah went on. So there was a scourge. You know, a punishment or something. Jehovah went on to say this to Moses and Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest. Take the sum of the whole assembly. See, this is the second time when they took the sum of the whole assembly. So we don't need to read all that. It's a lot of details there. But verse 4 says, from the age of 20 years and upward, just as they did before, the military forces. They were just going to take the males from 20 years old and upward. And so they did that. All the numbers are written in here. Let's not try to name them, or, you know, enumerate everybody here. But all the sons of Israel, they took the... I don't know if they include the sons of Levi here. Probably not. But maybe they do, but they weren't going out to the army. Manasseh, Ephraim, Benjamin, Asher, Naphtali, and altogether 601,730. Very similar to before, but not the same number. I believe it was 603,000 before, the total number. So some of them died, and there were new men who reached the age of 20 in the meantime. So yeah, it was 603,550. That's what it was before. Numbers. That was from Exodus. We're at Numbers 26. That's Exodus. I can't read it. Is it 38 or 36? I can't tell. Let me see. I think it's 38. Okay. Yeah, right here. 38. Exodus 38 and 26. There were 603,550. And now there are 601,730, different number, but almost the same. To these the land should be apportioned for an inheritance. Jehovah spoke to Moses those words. And so by the number of the names, you know, this is how they would determine how big their inheritance would be. And now they mention the Levites in verse 57 here, of Gershon, and of Kohath and of Merari, right? And I'm just in no condition to be able to read all that. I don't have the energy. I'm just not well enough to read all that. It's just, it would take a huge toll on me. But there were 23,000. It doesn't mention any more or less, just exactly 23,000 of the Levites. They did not get registered in among the sons of Israel, because no inheritance was to be given to them in among the sons of Israel, so that explains it. These were the ones registered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, and this is in the desert plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. So they haven't crossed the Jordan yet, but they're there. And among these, they're on the east side of the Jordan, and there did not prove to be a man of those registered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they registered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. What? There did not prove to be a man of those registered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they registered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. They were all new men who just turned 20. Or, you know, in the meantime had turned 20. They could be more than 20. But, or they, all the others had died. That seems incredibly astounding, isn't it? That's remarkable. For Jehovah had said concerning them, they will die without fail. Oh, right, because this is after 38 years of wandering. This is after the 40, you know, this is after the 38 years of wandering following the 2 years before they spied out the land. So they've had 40 years and some months of wandering here in the wilderness, or something like, well, depending on how long they spend here before they cross the Jordan. They've had about 40 years in the wilderness, and they eventually will have 40 years and some months before they cross the Jordan. They will have spent that long in the wilderness, so these are all new men. All the rest, Jehovah had said concerning them in verse 65, they will die without fail in the wilderness, and they died. So there was not left of them a man except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. That's right, there were two exceptions. They were the ones who spied out the land and gave a good report. They gave a good report of the land. They were willing to go in and take the land, and none of the other spies were willing to do anything remotely close to that. They were all speaking badly about their prospects of conquering the promised land, and that's why they were all assigned by Jehovah to die in the wilderness without fail. All of them did, except for these two, Caleb and Joshua. So we're coming now to our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is it? Right. Does anyone of you that has a case, this is a short chapter, I think. Does any one of you that has a case, when I was a son, when I was a young boy, a son to my father, and I didn't know the whole story about what my dad had done to me at that point when I was an infant. I didn't know the story of what he'd done to me when I was an infant. He concealed that for all of my life. Does anyone of you that... But he taught me, and my mother too, I suppose, but my dad taught me this. Mainly it was my dad, that it wasn't right to go to court. He just taught me it wasn't worth the time or the effort or the money or any of that to go to court with people, but just to be either accept what happened or try to get along with people as well as you could, or, you know, forgive people or whatever. But don't, he taught me not to, you know, harbor any grudge against anyone and not to seek any compensation. And I thought about something today, which is the idea of false humility too. It's falsely humble when we claim that we're going to put other people ahead of ourselves. We can't do that. We can't put other people ahead of ourselves, because if we do that, our health will suffer and we will die. It's that simple. And then we won't be able to help anybody. So we have to put ourselves first, always. And that's the true, honest approach to being a Christian. You can't say, I put others before myself. You know, that's falsely, it's humility that's false. It's completely falsely humble. It's not humble at all, because it's false. And it fails, and it leads to your death, so it can't be good. Does any one of you that has a case against the other dare to go to court before unrighteous men and not before the holy ones? In other words, if you have a case against a fellow Christian, would you go to court with that one in a worldly court where the judges are not Christian, and you wouldn't even take it up in the Christian congregation or in the church itself? Or do you not know that the holy ones will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you unfit to try very trivial matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Why then not matters of this life? If then you do have matters of this life to be tried, is it the men looked down upon in the congregation that you put in as judges? I'm speaking to move you to shame if you would go to court with a person who's not even a Christian. Is it true, or with a judge who's not even a Christian? Is it true that there is not one wise man among you that will be able to judge between his brothers? But brother goes to court with brother, and that before unbelievers. Really, then, it means altogether a defeat for you that you are having lawsuits with one another. Why do you not rather let yourselves be wronged? Why do you not rather let yourselves be defrauded? To the contrary, you wrong and defraud, and your brothers at that. I mean, if we're really trying to serve Jehovah, then it can't be wrong to pray for ourselves, first and foremost, because everything we do will benefit our brothers. So we have to pray for ourselves and put ourselves first, as long as we're really putting all of our efforts that is possible for us to do and to put forth into serving Jehovah and being loving, as long as we're seeking to be loving. We can't put others before ourselves. That would be, that's just some kind of a lie. Nobody does that. What? Do you not know that unrighteous persons will not inherit God's kingdom? Okay, Jesus gave his life for unrighteous people and for the world. So he put them ahead of himself, didn't he? But that's rather exceptional. Because he was to serve as the ransom sacrifice for the sin of mankind. But if we're to serve people and be strong and healthy and benefit others, how can we not put ourselves first so that we can be strong and healthy? It just doesn't make any logical sense. What, do you not know that unrighteous persons will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be misled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men kept for unnatural purposes, nor men who lie with men, nor thieves, nor greedy persons, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit God's kingdom. And yet that is what some of you were. But you have been washed clean. But you have been sanctified. But you have been declared righteous in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are advantageous. All things are lawful for me, but I will not let myself be brought under authority by anything. Foods for the belly and the belly for foods, but God will bring both it and them to nothing. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body, but God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up out of death through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of the Christ away and make them members of a harlot? Never may that happen. What? Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For, quote, the two, says he, will be one flesh. End quote. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee from fornication. Every other sin that a man may commit is outside his body, but he that practices fornication is sinning against his own body. What, do you not know that the body of you people is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? Also, you do not belong to yourselves, but you were bought with a price. By all means, glorify God in the body of you people. Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's what the price was. And he was a perfect man. And I keep thinking about this. It doesn't mean that he was perfect in the sense that he never made mistakes. He was not a deceiving person. He didn't try to deceive anybody. There was no deception in his mouth. He didn't lie, you know, things like that. All the important things. He was perfect. And, of course, he learned through discipline throughout his life. He learned and became perfect through discipline. Discipline. The man whom, or the one whom Jehovah loves, he disciplines. That's another principle from the Bible. And that's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we have 2 minutes, actually. So it worked out very well, considering. I've got to try to prepare for Monday, so I want to get my car serviced, because it needs service in one sense. That it needs a new positive battery terminal. Not the terminal, the battery, I'm sorry. I'm not going to send the battery with the car. I'm going to send the harness, or the thing, the parts of the wiring harness that connect to the battery. It needs a new positive contact for the positive terminal, because it doesn't tighten anymore. And so I'll send the car, is my idea, to Honda, have them look into it. There may be other things the car needs. It probably needs an oil change or something, or, you know, it probably needs something. But it's a very well looked after car. It's been well looked after since 1994. It's never been driven in the winter time, which is a thing I would like to continue doing with that car, is to not drive it in the winter, just keep it as a summer car if possible, because that's always been the way with that car. And the other car may need service too, but I don't think I need to service it just yet. Maybe in the fall when I start driving it, I'll send it for service too, so I can get it working again to where I can actually use it and you know, not have to worry about the parasitic drain on the battery that it has. It's got its own problems. So we are done. I love you, and have a wonderful day, God willing. And if that's possible, always try to view everything as positive, in a positive light, because when we suffer or when we make mistakes, we learn. That's the thing. We get the opportunity to learn. It's up to us whether we learn or not. And therefore, we can receive a blessing by learning. So, it's July 26th, 2023, 1855 hours. I'm Ward Green, and this is Phoebe. I don't know how I remember all the names. And this is Annie saying bye for now.